Every once in a while, I'll look at things that people do and wonder, where did this come from? Why do we do this? In 1996, when I was 8 years old, I discovered the secret to getting the most stuff on Halloween. I broke my leg. Sympathy is not always bad, right? I didn't break my shin. I broke my thigh at 8 years old. And of course, that meant spending 3 weeks in the hospital in traction, another 2 months in a body cast at home, and then another month learning how to walk again. That happened on September 12th. I did not go back to school until January 6th. So my hospital stay lasted from September 12th until the beginning of October at 8 years old. Rod through my leg, attached to bags of sand at the end of the bed, pulling my bone this way. But that was not the end of the story. Then I had another surgery to put a body cast on me from my belly button down to my toes on the broken leg side and down to my knee on the other side. I've got pictures if you'd like to see them later. But still, that didn't stop me. It takes a lot to stop an 8-year-old boy, right? It was not stopping me. I learned to walk in my cast because my sister's boyfriend taught me to, and then my mom kicked him out of the house. I had to be homeschooled for 4 months because I couldn't go to school. So my teachers would actually come to the hospital and to my house to try to teach me the best that they could, the math and language skills that I was missing. I was not too upset about missing 4 months of school, but there was one I refused to miss: Halloween. Why? No teaching that day. It's a party. We have drinks and snacks, and then we have a parade. I would always get to go home in the middle of the day or to my mom's work to get into my costume and have lunch and then come back. It's basically a free day. But there I was in my body cast. The only way to get me around was in a wheelchair. A wheelchair that also didn't stop me. We used that wheelchair so much, we had to change the tires on that thing. Yeah. Nothing could stop my dad and I from having fun. Like I said, it wasn't going to stop me. I went to school that day. The principal said it was okay for me to come dressed up. And there was not much dressing up to do because I decided to go as a crash test dummy. I already had the bottom half, right? My mom just put my arm in a sling and I was ready to go. So I got to be in the parade and see my friends for the first time in a month and a half, almost 2 months. I wouldn't see them again for 2 more months. Obviously, in 1996, there was no Snapchat, no video chatting, not even texting, not even AOL Instant Messenger. What's that? There was nothing. I did not see my friends for 4 months unless they came to the hospital to see me, which the whole class actually did one time. They actually got in a school bus and came to the hospital to see me as a class trip, like I'm a zoo exhibit or something. Let's go see the Dave. But I was happy that I got there that day as a crash test dummy, and I am honored to report to you that they actually made a new award just for me, and I can still hear the principal's voice in my head saying, "The 1996 award for the most expensive costume goes to Dave Ledford." It was a notebook. My good day did not end then, of course. The body cast pretty much doubled my weight. I was probably about 60 pounds when I was 8 years old. But my dad was determined to bring me out trick-or-treating anyway. And I put my sling back on, and he put me on his shoulder. Naturally, we only made it to about 3 houses because of how heavy I was, but that's all we needed, because I would knock on the door, and they would open, and they'd say, "Oh, here." As we were walking away, we would see them turn their light off. They're sold out. But again, have you ever wondered, where does all this come from? And is it okay for the church to even recognize this day? If you have wondered, you should be thankful that you have a pastor who was once a history teacher, because I'm about to teach you where all of this started and how we got to where we are. And yes, it does involve the church. Halloween comes from an actual church recognized day that we still celebrate today. We'll actually celebrate it next week. Hallows Day, All Saints Day, is a day where we in particular recognize and remember the people of the church who died that year. But we also celebrate all the saints of the church who worked so hard and gave so much so that we could be still worshiping in the Vincentown United Methodist Church 191 years later in 2019. So you could say that Halloween is about as Christian as a Christmas tree is. Let me explain. Where'd the Christmas tree come from? Well, the Christmas tree was kind of a pagan symbol, going back to Celtic times, also a Celtic symbol. When the early church was trying to evangelize and convert the pagans to Christianity, they found that it went a lot easier for them if they could say, look, you can keep your festivals, you can keep your holidays, you can even keep your symbols, but we're just going to make them Christian. So we get Christmas trees and we get Halloween. We get pumpkins. And we get all of these people turning their lives over to Jesus Christ. Similarly, Halloween was once a Celtic day, recognizing the spirits of the dead. While being converted, just like with Christmas trees, they were allowed to keep their traditions. Just had a new Christian spin put on them. The Catholic Church then gave Christmas trees and Halloween religious meaning. So that explains the holiday of Halloween, but what about this trick-or-treating thing? Is it just about greed? Or is there too something cultural, something historical to it? Well, to begin understanding this, we have to have a crash course in theology, particularly the belief of purgatory. In some Christian churches still today, there is a belief in purgatory, which is a space in between death and heaven where you have to pray for that person so that they can get to heaven. To be clear, the United Methodist Church does not do this. We don't believe that you need to pray for your loved one to go to heaven. What Jesus did was enough. But that's where it originates, because we're talking long enough ago that the Catholic Church was the only church. There was no Protestant Reformation yet. That's how old the Halloween traditions are. They're actually over 1,000 years old. At first, Celtic people would leave out food on the night of their festival called Samhain, a night that we now call Halloween, October 31st, because they, just like early Christians, thought that there was a closer link and a smaller gap between the spirit world and the human world on that one day of the year, which is kind of how Halloween got its origins in every culture, is the belief that on that night, the veil between the spirit world and the human world is the thinnest of the whole year. So they would go and leave food out for the spirits. They thought that if we fed the spirits, they won't come in the house and scare us. So that was their ritual. They would leave food out every year on October 31st. Well, over the course of time, they began to see that none of the food is getting eaten. So that seemed a little bit wasteful. What should we do with it instead? Well, that over time, as Halloween became more of a children's thing, it also turned more into a service to the community type thing, where on that day, the poor could come and knock on your door. And in exchange for doing a trick for them, you would get a treat. Now, this is not, you're not like shaking their hand with that little buzzer thing, right? This kind of trick is like dance or tell a joke. Give them something that makes them laugh. A good trick. Maybe a card trick or something that entertains them. And in exchange for entertaining them, they would give you a treat. They would give you food. So I guess you could say in those days it was tricks for treats. And like we like to do in the English language, we just chopped off that letter and it became trick or treat. Like we did with Halloween. Like, how does Hallow's Eve become Halloween? Other than we just don't feel like making it two words anymore. Well, that sounds a lot more like the Halloween that we know today, right? Going door to door, knocking on the door, and receiving treats. Halloween and trick-or-treating have been evolving for over 1,000 years. Back then, you could say it was tricks for treats. Now we say trick or treat. And today's implies that either one or the other is going to happen here. Actually, trick or treat really is a threat that if you don't give me a treat, I'm going to trick you, and you're not going to like it. And that's where Mischief Night comes from. Does any of this relate to the Bible? Well, it better if I have preached for 10 minutes on it, right? I believe there are both tricks and treats in the Bible. The kinds of tricks we are talking about now are not the kind of tricks that the kids would be expected to do at somebody's door, but instead the tricks, the malicious tricks, like the ones that Satan was trying to pull on Jesus in the desert. In fact, as I told the kids, I think both meanings of the word trick are present in that one story. Yes, Satan is trying to trick Jesus in the malicious sense. He is trying to fool him. But he is also trying to get Jesus to do some tricks in order to save himself from hunger and thirst and heat. Satan said, "If you are the Son of God, surely you have many tricks that you can do." Well, he was right about that. And as we read on in the Gospels, we'll see all those tricks. Tricks like turning water into wine and feeding 5,000 men plus their families with just 5 loaves of bread and 5 fish. Tricks like making the blind people see and making those who are disabled walk again, raising people from the dead. So yes, it was true that Jesus could surely pull some entertaining tricks if he wanted to. But those were not the kind of tricks that he was being fooled into in the desert. In those, Satan was saying, "Here, it's really this simple. All you have to do is a trick, a magic trick, to make this stone turn into bread and you won't be hungry anymore. All you have to do is walk off this building. The angels will catch you and lift you up." So yes, there are all kinds of tricks in the Bible, but there are also treats in the Bible. The best of them all is love, God's love in particular. The good news is that no tricks are required to receive God's love. You don't have to knock on God's door and do a trick to receive God's love. You've already received it. It's always there for you. And we certainly don't always deserve it, but God certainly always gives it. That's what we call grace. Grace is God's undeserved love for us. This treat is given freely to us with the expectation that we will then share it with others. And not with conditions. But freely and unconditionally. Not if tricks are done for us first. Not if somebody loves us first. But first, we love unconditionally. This treat is meant to be shared with God and all of the people around us. So anytime someone knocks on our door, no matter what day it is, whether it's October 31st or any of the other 364 days of the year, any day can become Halloween because that person knocking on your door can receive the treat of God's love through you. Amen.